David is used as the standard of righteousness throughout these generations here. And it tells some of the wonderful things that these men did and some of the things that were not so good. In verse 16, though this man slept with his fathers, he was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam his son reigned in his stead. We've reverted back to the tribe of Israel. At this point, in verse 23, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. He reigned 41 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Verse 25, he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath into the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah. And this is the same Jonah who we find in the book of Jonah. That was contemporary with this king, and evidently he had prophesied that God was going to give them some land, that they would be able to take that, and so they did, as we have in verse 25. And notice the reason that God did. The Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left to help, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord had not said that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. So again, you see how that God manifested and showed his grace to these people in the time of all of their wickedness, and yet they did not repent. They did not turn unto him at all. Chapter 15, we find the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Azariah, son of Amaziah, began to reign. He was 16 years old and began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He did not, in verse 4, take away the high places, and they still sacrificed and burnt incense. Verse 5, the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper. Unto the day of his death, he dwelt in several houses. Now, over in Chronicles, you will find, I don't know that exact reference, but anyway, the reason that God smote him is because that he intruded in the priest's office. His name over there is Uzziah. All right. In verse 19, Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even all the mighty men of wealth of each man, to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. Now, this is a time when Israel, well, they bought their way out. There was demanded certain money of them. And so they bought the hand of the Assyrians not to attack them and to overtake them. Well, it simply tells us that we do not need to compromise for victory. You do not need to buy the arm of the flesh in order to get off at all. Verse 23 of this same chapter 15, the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel and Samaria. He reigned 2 years, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, departed not from the sins of Jeroboam. Verse 27, in the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah the son of Remaliah began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 20 years. And so there are a number of these kings that are given just right back to back, we might say, about all is said of them is that they did wickedness in the sight of the Lord. In chapter 16, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 20 years old and began to reign. He reigned 16 years. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, his God, like David, his father. Walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire. Now, at one point, I had wondered about this, what it meant that he made his son to pass through the fire. There is a custom in some places how that they claim that they have enough faith to stand on the live coals.
This is track 1. It's a continuation of class 21, and we're starting in 2 Kings, the 16th chapter.
In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 20 years old and began to reign. He reigned 16 years. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, his God, like David, his father. Walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire. Now, at one point, I had wondered about this, what it meant that he made his son to pass through the fire. There is a custom in some places how that they claim that they have enough faith to stand on live coals without getting burned. But I have I have been told by or read in some commentaries that this means cremation. Making their son pass through the fire actually refers to cremation of the dead body rather than burial of it. So I don't know. There is the possibility that this is true. Some people have wondered about whether cremation was right or wrong. All right, in verse 6, at that time Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drove the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. Now, this is the first mention of the word Jews in Scripture. That's in the 6th verse. They're called this many times afterwards, especially in the New Testament. But this is the first mention of them in the Word. Verse 7, Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant, my son, come up and help me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And verse 8, Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. Now here is where the king of Judah bought the arm of the flesh with the treasures of God. And this is what happens today. If you lean on the arm of the flesh and you buy the things of the flesh, you're going to sacrifice the spiritual things and the treasures out of the temple or the house of God. You cannot have both of them. And so if you get the things of the flesh and buy the arm of the flesh, you will do it at the expense of spiritual riches. And that's a mighty dangerous path to take. All right. Chapter 17, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but he wasn't as bad as the kings that were before him. In verse 6, in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria, the king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and Haver by the river of Gozan and the cities of the Medes. So this is the captivity of the 10 tribes. And they were taken away into Assyria. And the history that we read later on over in Ezra, Nehemiah, especially, you find that that history is a history of Judah. After this, we do not read of the 10 tribes. And so this is why, undoubtedly, some people speak of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Well, there's no such thing as the 10 lost tribes of Israel, because God knows exactly where all of those tribes are. And he will gather them back unto the nation of Israel. But it is true that after this, the history that is viewed from then clear up on up until Jesus' time, and maybe after, is a record of Judah, the tribe of Judah and little Benjamin. Verse 7, it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. The children of Israel did secretly those things which are not right against the Lord their God, and they built high places in their cities, from the tower of the watchman in the fenced city, set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. This is just a list of the reasons for their captivity. God had already promised them what would happen if they did not yield to him, and so now he just reiterates the reason why that they went into captivity. In verse 13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and Judah by all the prophets and the seers. That is, he continued to warn them and warn them and warn them. He didn't just tell them one time what was going to happen, but he continued to warn them and to show grace and show mercy unto them, and they did not heed his message. And verse 14, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but they hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Verse 23, and the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by the servants of the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria. Notice, unto this day. They are not... we have no record of them being brought back the way that Judah was. In verse 24, the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and Ava and Hamath and all these other cities and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. Now, you remember Jesus when he went to the woman of Samaria And she said, you know that we have, the Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. Well, this is why. It's because the Samaritans were not true Jews. That is, they were not all Jews. They had intermarried with these others. There were some of them left there. But anyway, they were not pure Israelites. And so they were looked down upon because of that very thing. They felt that they were unclean, as it were. Verse 32, they feared the Lord. This is a strange plight. They feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Now that seems to be a very strange statement, that they feared the Lord and served their own gods. But it's the same thing happens today, that people seem like they're afraid of what could happen unto them. They're afraid of the so-called acts of God, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the floods and things of this nature. But does it cause people to repent? Do they turn unto the Lord, or do they continue to serve their own gods? They continue in their own unrighteous ways, you see. And so we have exactly the same condition today. They feared God, but served their own gods. All right. Let's take about 5 minutes and come back to chapter 8. All right. We're operating on that thing over there. All right. Chapter 18, verse 1. Came to pass in the third year of Hoshea the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old and began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and notice, according to all that David his father did. So we can really take some spiritual instruction from this man, and some parts of his life are... to me, they're just beautiful, is the only word that I can think of. The simplicity of this man and the way that he believed God and trusted God and how that God honored him, as we will notice. Notice what he did in verse 4. He removed the high places. He broke the images. He cut down the groves. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses has made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. So this wonderful symbol that God had used when Israel was coming out of the land, you remember, when he put the serpent on the brazen serpent on the pole, and we noticed the significance of that. Well, now then these people have begun to idolize that. And so the same thing happens, that people begin to idolize instruments rather than the Christ of the cross, and it is not to be done. All right. Verse 6, we find he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him. He prospered whithersoever he went forth. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now the king ahead of him had made affinity with Assyria and was put under tax and so forth, but Hezekiah refused to do that, and God was with him. And so when we serve the Lord, we need not be bound by anything either. God does not expect us to be in bondage to the wickedness and to the old man. All right. Verse 13, the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Now then, we find that Judah is besieged, but they do not go into captivity at this time, because in verse 15, he says, Sennacherib says, I am come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it. The Lord said to me, go up against this land, destroy it. It was not God's purpose to destroy the land, but this man came up with all of his haughtiness and all of his might, and he said, now, do you think that I'm come up without the Lord to destroy this place? Well, the Lord told me to come up here and destroy it. Well, you find the same thing today. Some today speak as though they have a message from God, but God has not sent them. He has not given them such a message at all. And so you find again, try the spirits to see whether they be of God, because many people are saying things today that God has not said. And it was proven that he had not said it. And this man was very haughty and rude and blasphemous and everything else in his speech. And then he begins to compare God with the other gods. In verse 33, he says, have any of the gods of the nations delivered at all this land out of the hand of the king of Syria? Where are the gods of Hamath, Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? And as if to say, your God is no different than any of the rest, and some people would look upon God as that way. Why, no, your God, there's no power to your God, there's nothing to him. Put him down on a par with all of the other religions of the world, and of course God will not have that. Well, in chapter 19, it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. So notice that he did not do as some kings would have done and went out and tried to buy the arm of the flesh and give in to the enemy and try to hire someone against this particular man. But he rent his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. That is, he went directly to God. And this is a very good example for us. Rather than leaning to our own understandings and our own logics and ideas and philosophies, to go into the house of the Lord, talk it over with the Lord. And again, we're going to notice some more wonderful things that he did. And notice verse 2, he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered in sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And so he not only himself was praying unto the Lord, but he sent to the prophet to commune with God, because prophets were the go-between in that day. God spoke unto them through the prophets, and so this man acknowledged that, and he went by way of the prophet Isaiah. In verse 6, Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard with the servants of the king of Assyria. They have blasphemed me. It says, I'll send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor in his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now, this is a promise that God gave unto Hezekiah. But it does not happen all at once, because this man Sennacherib comes up and he sends a letter unto Hezekiah, and he writes again some very blasphemous things after this promise has been given unto Hezekiah by God. And in verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. But notice then, Hezekiah went up in the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. And this is such a marvelous way for us to do. If we want to write them out, all right, go ahead and write them out. But the thing is, to lay our problems, to lay our needs before the Lord. And what he did, he just laid it down there and says, all right, Lord, you read that. Well, you see the simplicity that is involved in that, and I just love the simplicity of prayer. It is not very long, fiery, eloquent messages, but it is just simple faith in believing God, and that's what this man did. And notice how he came unto God. Verse 15, he prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim. Here he went directly to the throne of grace, because this is where the cherubim were. They overshadowed the mercy seat or the throne of grace. And he says, so he actually appeals unto the God of all grace at this particular point, the way that we do. He says, you are God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, and thou hast made heaven and earth. Now bow down your ear and hear. Lord, open your eyes and see. He says, look at this letter I'm showing to you. Look at these problems. And this is exactly what we can do with the Lord, too. Lord, don't you see my problem? I enjoyed so very much Sister Huff's account of the way that the Africans pray, coming to the Lord. Now, Lord, don't you want your house painted? Don't you want your house to look good? And then on this other one, Lord, this little boy, he wants to be filled with the Spirit. You going to give it to him? You know, so simple and yet so wonderful. And so it is with us. We can just lay our needs specifically before the Lord. Look what you said in your word, Lord. As she said there, said, you said you'd meet all of our needs. Didn't you mean it, Lord? Well, you see, we can do just exactly that. And this is what Hezekiah did at this particular point. So open your eyes and hear the words and see what Sennacherib has done. And he acknowledges in verse 17, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. He acknowledges recognizes the power of the enemy, and we must do the same thing. Don't ever think that Satan's not powerful, because he is. So we recognize that power. But he also says they've cast their gods into the fire. But he says they were no gods. They were work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. And then the clincher, verse 19, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And so this was the secret of his petition. He wanted to glorify God, and so it must be in our case. Now, I don't want to say that he didn't want to be delivered, because he most certainly did. But one of the real basic motives that he wanted in that deliverance is that God would prove himself to be God and the Lord God of all the nations. Verse 20, Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And notice that he did exactly as he said in verse 34. He says, I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 35, It came to pass that night the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, they were all dead corpses. And so here again, notice that Hezekiah didn't even have to form an army. I thought of what, I believe it was Moses said, The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. He didn't even have to war or battle at all against him. God just came down and gave the victory, as he does with us so many times. Verse 36, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, he departed and returned and went to Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, they loved him very much. And they smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia, and Ezra had his son reign in his stead. Well, here again we find that God made true the prophecy which he had given concerning this man. And this Nineveh, you remember it from the study of Jonah, and this is why that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, because these were enemies of Israel. He didn't go there and preach to them people. And so I would have to remember that they were enemies when we get to the study of that book. All right, in chapter 20, we find verse 1, In those days Hezekiah was sick to death, and the prophet came to him, and he said, Set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. Well, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, I beseech thee now, Lord, remember I walked before you in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is right in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, I don't believe that Hezekiah was weeping here because that he was going to die, but he was rather weeping because he knew after his death that the children of Israel were going to really provoke the Lord and do all sorts of wickedness. And so he cried unto the Lord. Verse 5, God came to him and says, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people.